Welcome to the Wait, What If podcast. This is Kevin Sullivan, as always, your host. And with me is Mike Stojic. Say hello, Mike.
Hello. How you doing?
Today we have kind of an interesting program. This is Kristen Ford Newell. Did I say it right?
Yes,
that's hyphenated. Ford-Newell. She spent 12 years as a cop up in Westchester, New York. Westchester County, New York, right?
Correct.
Okay. She also has her, was it a bachelor's degree in history?
Yeah, a bachelor's degree in history.
Okay, and then laboratory technician?
Yes.
All right, excellent. Could be, hey, I just saw your little wounded warrior there in the back here. Very good. Do you have any friends or family in the military?
Used to, obviously. My dad and, you know, relatives, my father-in-law.
Very good. Mike is a former Marine, and I'm former Air Force.
That's where I wanted to go, into the Marines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We both single-handedly defeated the Iraqi army.
I know people who you send there and they'll put their hands up, believe me.
Yeah. I worked with them.
Oh, did you really?
I was an advisor with the Iraqi
I was talking
army.
About the original Iraqi army.
Oh, the original
not,
ones.
Not Iraqi my, army my times two.
My neighbor was in Kuwait.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they the Iraqi army then? No, they were the Republican Guard.
There
was the Iraqi army too. Mm-hmm. I lied. I wasn't there when we were fighting the Iraqi army. I was there when we were fighting just the idiots that were picking up stuff and shooting at us. Whatever they were, insurgents. What else? Oh, she is, and I guess we should tell you why we have her on the program. She is the founder of As Southern As Possible Paranormal. I was wondering this when I was texting back and forth with people, letting them know that what the show is going to be about. And I was saying paranormal investigator, and then I was saying ghost hunter. Is there any? I figured you guys wouldn't like ghost hunter.
No, I thought that in the back of my mind. No, you picked up on that. We don't really like that. That's too Hollywood.
Yeah, like the TV
show
that
came out.
We don't have playbacks.
We don't stage stuff.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
we don't have cuts.
We can talk about that because I don't know, about 10 years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, I was really into that TV show. What was it? Ghost Hunters. Actually,
Ghost
that was
Hunters,
the name of it. Ghost
I,
Hunters.
I still watch that one. Well, now
really?
I think it starts August 25th or 26th.
I didn't realize it was still on. I stopped watching it.
No,
maybe
it
10
wasn't,
years ago.
But it's gonna.
Oh,
I guess they filmed a couple of things and they're going to broadcast them.
Okay. That, a lot of that, I guess, was fake, right?
I wasn't there.
Oh, right, right.
Okay, yeah. One of your questions was blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And my thing is, if I'm not there, I don't know.
Okay. One of the guys quit, Grant. He was
one of the founders, yep.
And I think he had some issues going on. I don't know.
Yeah, you hear all kinds of rumors about the gals, why they quit. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I forgot the girls
quit. There was a lot of rumors about them, why they quit. I don't know if it's true or not. Like I said, it's rumor.
That's good. You're a good broadcaster.
I can give you my opinions.
You're a good broadcaster because you say, we don't know. It's all allegedly. Because having basically a basement podcast, I can't afford to be sued by anyone for libel. So everything we said is allegedly. So that's basically it. We'll talk about it at the end ways you can contact her. You can see her website. It is, and they spell this all out, as Southern as Possible Paranormal .com. Okay, so it's as Southern as Possible Paranormal.
Well, if you just Google us, it's going to hit. You're going to get a hit.
Too many of those. Okay. Unless there's someone in Georgia that says we're even more Southern than.
Make sure you put the paranormal in there.
Okay. As Southern as Possible Paranormal.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of things to talk about. Two big things that happened before we were on. Number one was we reached Pluto, which I thought was really, really cool. So you enjoy that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome. Did you read up on anything like that?
I thought that was really great. Yeah. I like seeing the memes that came on afterwards.
I didn't see any of them. What was it?
I don't know. Just weird pictures of what's going on Pluto.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just funny.
There's the big heart that's on the middle of Pluto. I saw a great bumper sticker that had I Heart Pluto, and you can see the little heart in the middle of Pluto on there. But yeah, it's pretty cool. They launched it 10 years ago, and I thought that was great. And the real wild thing about that is it's like trying to do something today, used to all our computing abilities today, using 10-year-old technology. So I guess, you know, it took 10 years to get there, which still kind of blows my mind. It went 3 billion miles at 31,000 miles an hour. I feel like it should take longer to get there. I feel like Pluto's so far away. It takes 4 hours for a radio signal to get from there to here. So at the speed of light, it still takes 4 hours. To me, a beam of light traveling for 4 hours, that would be really, really far away.
I think so.
Like, I feel like we wouldn't even be able to reach that, but I guess we can. Yeah. I guess it's not that far. You just have to travel for 10 years.
How much further is that thing going to go?
I think it's just, I think it's heading out.
Or someday we're just not going to pick up signals from that satellite anymore?
Yeah, it's like the...
At some point it won't reach us?
There was a couple satellites, and I totally forgot their names. I don't know. I have no idea. They sent... this is back in the 70s. They sent a couple... satellites out to leave the solar system. They actually left it, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever. And they have a golden plate on it that has like Michelangelo, or no, it's Da Vinci's, you know, the human body where you've got the arms.
Sistine Chapel, that one.
Yeah, okay. So it has that. Okay. It has like, it's a golden record and it has visual instructions on how to make a like rudimentary record player. So if it goes off for billions of years and someone finally finds it and they can be like, hey, we can listen to this. And it's got like a baby crying. It's pretty cool. Yeah. But the odds, I mean, like we said, not only if you're dealing with extraterrestrial, anything, what's that called? Intelligence. You're not just talking about distance. You're talking about time. So, it could travel for a billion years and meet nobody. You know, the last, it's just, you're just shooting a BB out into outer space and hoping you're going to hit something. And
yeah, good luck.
Yeah. The majority of the space is nothing. The majority of it is absolutely nothing.
I know. And think how crazy it is if you took a note and just put it in a bottle and threw that bottle off into the ocean.
That's how I met my wife, actually.
That's amazing. So that works for you. But for that bottle to actually reach somewhere and somebody, and then for them, I mean, I think the odds on that are almost ridiculous.
Yeah, it happens, though.
And then but now times that by, what, a million or something?
Yeah, more than that. Well, how much more? The size of the universe versus the size of the ocean. Yeah.
The odds of shooting a message out into space, I think, is just crazy.
And some people think it's a waste of time. I mean,
no, I think it's cool, though. I would definitely, I'm all for doing it. I just think the odds are not in our favor for someone of locating that.
Yeah, I don't. And maybe, who knows?
Before it gets burned up by some other star.
Yeah.
It's pulled into its orbit.
Yeah, most likely. Or hit by something. It might not even be out there right now. Yeah. We can't communicate with it. I wish I remember the name of it. It's the Voyager. Yeah, the Voyager, I think is what it's called. Mm. I could be completely wrong. One thing that Mike and I do is we are absolutely not experts on anything we talk about. So everything we say, just because we have a microphone in front of our face, makes it legitimate.
I'm drinking too, so this is a lot different.
I thought you were going to have a little whiskey with you.
I was going to have one, and then I don't think it's really ever too early to have a drink. Yeah. I mean, it's too early to drink many drinks, but
right.
5 o'clock somewhere. What's this?
It's just very true. Mm-hmm. It is.
Daniel Jackson.
I mean, it's two. This is good drinking.
Is it two?
Time. Yeah.
Right.
Well, two for us right now.
So that was the first thing I want to talk about. I thought that was great. Second thing I want to read, and I should have played my news. That's how I used to bring up my my news back when we were a morning zoo program. The other thing that was pretty cool, and I had this, it might be linked up on the Wait What If. The problem is a lot of my stuff goes up on my Facebook, and I don't have it linked up to the Wait What If Facebook. And I got to figure out how to do that because a lot of this stuff is kind of cool, and I think I linked this one up there. And this one is...
Did you create two different pages?
No, my own personal Facebook page.
It's your personal page, but then did you create the Wait What If off of that personal page?
Yeah, you can, and so you manage it all under one account.
Yep, that's what I did. So I was just curious because if you didn't, then I don't know. But I can show you how to link all that up.
Yeah, I just want to be able to like when I post an article or I have this paper, you can set up a paper where you tell it where to pull information off of. So it'll pull RSS feeds off of all these different websites, and then it basically publishes it under your name, and it'll link to all those different websites. And mine is called Brain Food, and it comes up once a week onto my Facebook page, and I want it to link over to the this is horribly boring stuff, so I'm going to move on. So basically, on this weekly paper, this thing came up where this scientist was looking at single-cell organisms that lived in the ocean, and the problem with them was that every time they would pull them out of the water, they'd disintegrate, so they couldn't study them, but they were really interested in seeing how these things operated. So they ended up, this guy was like, hey, I got an idea. We'll take a sample in the water. I'll freeze them with resin, and then I'll be able to do scanning microscope, or whatever, electron microscopes, and take a look at how these things operate. So they did that, and then they said, wow, What they found was this is a single cell organism that actually had created in itself, it had modified its own body to make a lens, to make an eyeball. And they think this gives us insight as to where the eyes came from, because the eyes are pretty tricky. There's a lot of question about how the eyes evolved. Mm. So what it did is it used its mitochondria to kind of push out of the cell wall, and it made basically a lens, and then it engulfed some sort of algae, because when they checked the DNA of this thing, they found algae DNA. So the algae obviously uses photosynthesis, so it's a photoreceptor, and it pushed that to the back of its body, and then it took light through its little lens and reflected it off the algae, I guess, or whatever the photoreceptor was for the algae, and it basically created its own eyeball to look around.
Incredible.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah, that's really cool.
How long that took?
Yeah, I'm sure a billion years, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? But whatever
it's a
these
good
things
case
are,
for evolution. I
yeah,
think.
It yeah. really is. It's amazing, case. Especially if there's a plant. There's plant DNA in this.
Yeah, that's
this
wild.
Organism. Yeah,
that's so wild.
Which makes you wonder: is our retinas part animal? Who knows? I mean, part animal, plant. Part plant. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So those are the two big things that I want to talk about. I like to yap about things like that, so that was cool. So today, we got a lot to talk about. Where can we start? So, Chris, do you go by Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chris, let's start from the beginning. When did it all start for you? What compelled you to investigate the paranormal?
First of all, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that it must come with when people say they investigate the paranormal, so paranormal meaning outside the norms, right?
Right, exactly.
Yep. People will, I mean, I don't know.
I didn't start investigating spirits, ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about earlier about star people and UFOs and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. When I was a freshman in high school, I was making a poster for a mixer, a dance. In my day, they called them mixers.
Okay.
Okay. And I was doing the skunk from Bambi. Remember Flower?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And I had the poster paper laid out. I was at my aunt's house, laid on our living room floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coloring it with black magic marker. And I looked out across her picture window that she had there, and I saw a UFO. I'm not crazy. I was young. I was 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And now there's homes there, but at that time there wasn't any. And I actually, like, what the heck is that? You know? And we're talking about dating myself. That was like 1965.
Okay.
And it was a UFO. Mm-hmm. It was silver on the top, smooth. The bottom had a grainedness to it. Like, if I was closer, maybe there was slits, maybe there wasn't, but it was rough.
How far away was it, would you guess?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
It was pretty big, but it was pretty far.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I kind of brushed it off. I didn't really think about it. Later on, when I was a little older, I started reading up on UFOs, extraterrestrials. I started reading Eric von Däniken. I guess because I was a history major, and you're doing a lot of looking at things, and then you come across something like this could be a spaceship. So then, of course, I went back, and I was always like a researcher. We didn't have computers, but I went to the library, and I looked stuff up. That's what I came across, a chapter in a book about near-death experiences. And this whoever wrote, I can't remember, I was young, gave his experiences about how it was like a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And now, I had like a flashback. When I had my appendix out, I was 10 years old.
Okay.
It was taken out on New Year's Eve. And they couldn't find a doctor. They were all partying or whatever they were. And I had that experience. All right. I think I died.
Okay.
I really do. I was on the operating table at that. Because every time I had an attack of appendix, since I was in kindergarten, now you're talking about fifth grade.
Yeah.
And every time, everything was automated at that time. So by the time they took my blood and they did everything manually,
mm-hmm.
my values were normal.
Yeah.
So this happened, this one time, I guess they said, oh, yeah, it's her appendix. So
this, when you said they couldn't find a doctor, they had you on the table without any doctors?
Oh, they must have gotten one.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, well, eventually.
I couldn't even tell you the guy's name, but, you know.
Oh, wow.
But it was, you know, like I said, I've always had to have an appendix. They didn't know what it was. So anyway, I remember having that experience, and I thought maybe it was the ether or whatever they gave me. Mm-hmm. And it was like a black and white. It wasn't color. It was black and white, like a swirl. Mm-hmm. And it was a light at the end of the tunnel. I never made it to the end of the tunnel. But when I read this article that I read, oh, that happened to me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when I realized that something happened, but I don't know what it is. I didn't die. I brushed it off. Well, I was adopted when I was 10 months old, so I really don't know my real parents, but my adopted father died when I was 18.
Okay.
Prior to that, my adopted grandmother died when I was 13, 14 years old, and we lived in a house that was built in the turn of the century.
Okay.
And the way the house was built is that if you wanted to go into the living room, and then eventually came my bedroom, you had to go through my parents' room to gain access to that front room. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing a woman in a lacy white, off-white dress, mm-hmm. with her hair up on the top of her head, like a bun, like the Gibson girl, or whatever you want. And it was there, and it went. And I didn't think anything of it. I'm crazy. I'm really crazy. So my father died when I was 18. And I didn't board in college. I came home one day and I saw a man in the same spot. Now you're talking about. Now I was I was in my 20s. And I said, you know, and he had a brown suit, high collar. I didn't say anything, especially my mother. Jesus, I would never say anything. She would freak out. Because I think in that it was her deceased husband and all that. So it was like you're walking on eggshells. I came home one day, and my mother had, we have a round kitchen table. There was a prayer on the table. And then my mother's not really a believer. And it said something to the effect, oh, Jesus, there's a spirit in this house. Let it rest, or something like that. So when she came home from work, I approached her. I says, why do you have that prayer? And she told me she saw a man in the house. There's no man in the house.
Is this similar? Time. She saw similar to what you had seen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I says, well, okay, there really is something here. So then I told her, I says, you know, it was a guy. I saw the same thing. Mm-hmm. I says, it wasn't dad. You know, it wasn't daddy. I said, I don't know where it was. We never saw it anymore. Never. Mm-hmm. Years later, when I was in law enforcement, I bought a home. It was a resale. I think it was built in the 60s. And like, you know, I didn't really spend that much time in the house, mm-hmm. because, you know, my job, the hours involved and stuff like that. And I had gotten married. And we decided we were going to live in my home because I didn't want to commute an extra 45 minutes to work every day. My mm-hmm. husband was up in Statsburg. So we ended up, we bought a resale. I was only 2 years old. And we used to start seeing wisps, for lack of a better terminology on that. And my husband, no, he's very, you know, no, I didn't see it. It was maybe because my eyes. Blah, 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 blah.
That's the way I am.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. But my mother saw it. I saw it. My daughter was just shy of her second birthday when we moved into this house. And she would see things, all right? And then they had a keen imagination, but she's smart. Mm-hmm. She got a full academic scholarship, so I just want you to know she's smart. She was reading at 2 years old, and she'd be sitting on the bed talking to people. Now, I know she had friends, you know, imaginary mm-hmm. friends. What happened was that she described this man with a cowboy hat on. And then she described the older woman. And a lot of times she'll say, dad's home when he's not, because I had retired by that time. Mm-hmm. And dad wasn't home. So we just, like, I brushed it off. And the only thing I told her was I started researching my ancestors, mm-hmm. doing a lot of genealogy. And I told her to kind of pacify her that it was our ancestors and they were looking after us and wanted to take care of us. I didn't want to scare her.
Yeah.
But this went on and on and
on. So up to this point, all these little events that you had, you just kind of just took them as,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, what am I going to say? I mean, what am I going to tell people?
Most people, I find if you talk to most people, I would say the majority of people will have a story about that. I mean, I have a story about it. You have a story. I mean, mm-hmm. you sit down and you talk with people and they have something that they can't explain that has occurred. So, yeah, I could see how it would just be something that you
Then we started going on all these commercial ghost tours. Every place you went. I was a history major.
Commercial ghost tours?
Ghost tours.
Oh, ghost tours. I was going to say, yeah. There's ghost stores?
Yeah, no, so I thought she said, I want to go.
And, like, we used to go back mm-hmm. to the places. And we did a lot like you did later on.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised at some of the things that we captured on film. And at that time, I didn't have a 30, maybe I had a 35 millimeter or an Instamatic. Mm-hmm. I had a Vexus at one time.
So this is when your daughter was still young?
Yeah, she was still young. We did 61, something like that, national parks. And then we'd go back to them. And I started getting stuff on film. Mm-hmm. You meet people. Mm-hmm. That'll tell you that this place is haunted or this cemetery is haunted. And we'd go back. And, of course, we got some evidence. And we didn't do EVPs at the time because they didn't have the equipment. You didn't have a digital recorder.
Yeah.
You just had a very rudimentary...
Yeah, heck, your cell phone will work as well now. Yeah.
I don't think they were invented yet.
So
anyway, that's when we started getting things, mm-hmm. pictures and stuff like that. And if you get on our website, you could see some of them are very... you could tell that the camera was not, a digital.
Yeah.
Or even a 35 millimeter. But nevertheless, they were there.
Yeah.
And I was always interested in unexplainable things and try to seek answers out.
Right.
And there were no groups up where I'm originally from, the upstate New York, and there were no groups around there that you could have joined, or you didn't have the internet, so you really couldn't go on there and see if there is any. And I got friendly with a couple of people that, some moms that my daughter went to school with their daughter, and we'd go to a couple of places, but we never really got anything. When I moved down to Raleigh, I joined a meetup group.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I found you.
I got the meetup group. I got affiliated with a group who's, I don't know if they're still working or they dispersed, but I met a lot of people and went on a couple of good investigations. And my partner, Deb, and I decided we were going to form our own group. Mm-hmm. And through other people that we met, we'd get phone calls and... they would ask if we'd taken any investigators on, and we train them and stuff like that. And we've been pretty busy ever since. And some of the stuff that I found down here in North Carolina, even besides the national parks, pretty convincing. Mm-hmm. We've been doing like private homes and businesses and stuff like that, and it really made a believer out of me, even if you were a skeptic. Like, mm-hmm. being in law enforcement, my thing is that I don't kind of convince anybody. It's up to you. It's like religion and politics. You got to do your own, have your own beliefs, mm-hmm. but. As I worked in law enforcement, you gather evidence, what you claim to be evidence, and you present them to the jury, which is your client.
Right.
And they make their own determination. I mean, you can believe it or not. Is your house on it? And where it's not. They wouldn't have called me if they didn't have any kind of idea that it wasn't. But people come to their own conclusions. Here's the EVPs. Here's the pictures. Do I take other people's pictures? Not really. I have to take that picture. Or one of my team have to take. Same with the EVPs. It has to be on ours. I don't know if somebody has a, quote, studio fooling around. So it has to be really hardcore evidence. And I debunk a lot of stuff. Or I don't hear it very well. I'm not too sure about it. I would present that to the owner.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the... There's actually a couple of things that we... And we can go into that here in a minute. The how you said it's sometimes not the house, it's the land or whatever. How would you define... And this is a broad thing, I guess, but define haunting. Because when I think... Or when anyone thinks of haunting, we obviously think of the Hollywood idea of it. We think of levitating tables and... Something's giving me some feedback. Do you hear that?
It's weird.
I think it's my phone. That was my
phone. I don't think it's her phone either.
So what's happening is we had to break this up a little bit, and you're not going to be able to hopefully hear this on the. I mean, you might hear this white noise in the background. And we're trying to fix it.
We should just listen to it, and maybe we'll hear something come through. Because maybe
in the middle of the
maybe something came with Chris
in the middle of the interview. We started getting this white noise, and I just turned everything off right now and restarted it and. And we moved our phones. I don't know what's going on, but you'll hear a white noise in the background, and I'm going to have to troubleshoot the system and find out where that's coming from. It's coming from one of these mics, and I've unplugged everything and plugged everything back in.
Or it's
that's,
not coming from one of the mics.
That's where you, when you're doing a homemade podcast, you have to be the system engineer, the booker, the everything at once. And so, and then also be the interviewer. And I can't do all at once right now, so I'm trying to do the best I can. So with that said, I don't remember what we were talking about before we lost all this. Oh, we were talking about haunting, define a haunting.
Oh, okay. I didn't give you a definition on that. Okay. A haunting, to me, it doesn't have to be correct. Mm-hmm. It's a remaining consciousness of energy.
Okay.
That's how I define it. Okay.
Kind of what I had said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we were discussing this before?
I think so.
It might have been offline.
Yeah.
I was like, I think it's a consciousness, and these are just our physical forms. And this really doesn't mean anything, because what makes us individuals and unique is our consciousness, and we're all kind of connected. And that goes, it's a thought of mine that I have. But when Kevin and I were discussing this, that was what I thought it was. I was like, I think it's a consciousness that just has remained and hasn't gone back to what I think is a greater consciousness.
And I think one of the difficulties with that is, how do you... We really don't have a definition for consciousness. I mean, our definition of consciousness is, I guess, self-awareness. We mm-hmm. Self-awareness, self-preservation. Where does it lie? I mean, as a scientist, I say it lies within our neurophysiology. It lies within our general... So your neurons are wired to, A, keep yourself alive, and, B, propagate the species. And as long as you can keep those two things going, everything else, society... norms, values, all that is a remnant of evolution, basically to get us where we are safely and effectively propagated. So my empirical data would say that's what consciousness is. But from a non-scientific viewpoint of it, and what I mean by this, a non-scientific, is... And as, especially as a skeptic and as a scientist, what I want to see, and I have to see in order to maintain any sort of, I guess, scientific credibility, is I have to be able to see empirical data, which means something that can be measured, and that I need to collect that data, come up with a hypothesis, test the hypotheses, and then measure it. I mean, you have to. The second you take any step away from the scientific method, especially as a scientist, is your the reason why things like that are set up in the first place is so you keep everything in line and keep everything working in the same manner. Take a pill, for instance. If someone says, take this pill and your cholesterol will go down, and your chances of survivability increase based on, you know, this data that we collected. And then someone else says, no, I take snake oil and it gives me virility, it gives me life, it gives me this, that, and the other thing. And then we say, you know, where's the data that supports that? Well, there is no data. You just have to trust me on this one. If as a medical provider, as a scientist, I start saying, okay, I'll trust you and let's use that. Now we've just thrown the scientific method out the window, and that's dangerous because it keeps a standard, and in certain things you need standards. So when we start talking about the paranormal outside the norm or outside the norms, is when we start getting away from that scientific method, because a lot of this stuff, you know, consciousness is non-measurable. It's not empirical. So that's where I kind of approach it from. And I want to. I like the stories and everything, but then I say, all right, I need to see the data. And that's where it gets tricky. You were going to say something.
Sorry. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't have anything to say against the scientific the method. But this, right. It's a lot like religion, you know, believing the paranormal sort of thing, because there's no you can't use the scientific method to prove any one of the religions right or wrong. All you really have is faith,
right?
Which you can never apply the scientific method to proving faith,
right? No,
you just can't do it, but you have it anyway. And I think that's sort of the same when it comes to whether or not you believe in paranormal activity. It's sort of the same, similar type of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You just believe because you've either had experiences. I guess that would be it. I mean, I don't think anyone would believe unless you had an experience.
That's right.
I mean, it'd be kind of hard to believe in something without it, these sort of experiences.
I don't know if you know any people, but some people aren't aware of their surroundings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are in the military. Mm-hmm. You're more aware, more in tuned.
Situational
sniper,
awareness.
This or that. or being in law enforcement. I mean, I'm out X number of years already. But you're more aware, you look. How many times you're with somebody and they trip over something? Didn't you see that? What's wrong with you? Well, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're not aware of yours. There could be stuff that you don't see. I call it the tunnel vision thing. You see right there. That's where I'm focusing at that picture. But I have no clue. Why are there car accidents? I have no clue what's going on to my left or to my right.
Right.
And they just don't see it.
When you say that, though, could it be that, and then let's go back to the consciousness, because as the definition, a residual consciousness, could it be that, and again, because I like to explore, I mean, just because I'm a scientist and I like to see my evidence doesn't mean that I don't enjoy learning and reading and all that stuff about this sort of thing.
Sure.
So, so could that residual consciousness, or could that just be that some folks are more akin to perceiving that? Almost like you have a colorblind person who might avoid something or might not see something that's right in front of them by no fault of their own. Could that also be, you know, I go through life and I walk through the house in the middle of the night and things that go bump in the night don't frighten me, at least in the sense of it being a ghost or anything like that. Could it be just because I'm not tuned in to see that sort of thing? Or
no, I don't look around. I mean, sometimes I come down and I check, make sure the lights are out and all that stuff. I don't go looking around for ghosts. I'm more focused. Do you see somebody trying to break into my house more than super paranormal?
Mm-hmm.
I look for the real too.
Yeah.
I don't go looking around for ghosts. That's the last thing I do.
Okay.
It's just, you know, more of the physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like I said, it's like people. My thing is, like, don't you see that? I like to take pictures. Okay. I like to take pictures. I take a lot of pictures. I have albums. I have the stuff in the fair. I mean, I do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some great shots. And I got to say, I got some great shots. But because I'm aware of that bird, or I'll see a fawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, or a butterfly. Who say, wow, I didn't reach out. Well, did you see you with me? Did you see that? Or no, I don't know. They're not really focusing.
Okay.
They're not focusing on, they're not using all your senses. I mean, I don't have very good hearing sometimes, but I can hear. I don't know, I hear a snake.
Do you find that people, when they hear that you investigate the paranormal, they'll say, "Is my grandfather in this room?" And you have to be like, "Well, I didn't say I was a psychic."
No. Some people think that maybe.
Yeah.
I had one call. I think the guy, you know, he was going through a traumatic experience, losing his grandfather. Believe it or not.
Okay.
And you know, he really thought his grandfather was there. I didn't investigate. I didn't think. The apartment. I don't really think it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the fact that it was traumatic, his sorrow, emotional loss. And no, I really think that's what it is. A lot of people do that. A lot of people, they go, it's my mother, it's my father. But, you know, it has to be a little more evidence. Mm-hmm. I have to do an evidence thing too. I just don't randomly. I have a picture that I have on my computer that somebody sent me. And they said the guy took it with his cell phone, and it was at Fort Sumter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the picture real quick, it looks like somebody. You don't see anything above the stretcher. You see the stretcher, and you see blue pants.
Okay.
Okay. And right away, it's Union soldiers carrying a wounded Civil War soldier on the stretcher.
Speak more directly.
All right,
to that.
This okay, Civil sorry. War soldier.
Okay.
And this guy that sent it to me was no dummy. He was a doctor.
Okay.
No dummy. And if you're not really in tune to that, so it looked like a double exposure to me.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And he said, oh, the guy took it with his cell phone. Now, I don't know if he could take a double exposure with the cell phone. I never tried it.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a computer, so it can glitch.
I have this program. And you can actually tell when the picture was taken and what camera it was taken with.
Right, right.
It was actually taken with some kind of 35mm camera, I think, that you can't get anymore, or digital. Mm-hmm. You can't get anymore, but you'd be able to do that. And it wasn't taken with this guy's cell phone.
Okay.
It was taken with this other camera. So I text the guy. I said, nah, this was taken with this and this camera on this date, and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, you know.
Yeah. Is there anything that frightens you? Do you find that you get frightened when you came in? We were talking about a few things, and you said there's some things that you won't investigate, and one of them is if you feel that there's demonic presence.
No.
Can you explain the demonic side of things? When I hear demonic, I think
devil.
Well, I think of that movie, Paranormal
Activity.
Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. My thing is, if you believe in God, you don't believe in God. But if there's good, there's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we live in a world with an opposites.
Sure, yeah.
North Pole, South Pole, like poles repel, right? So I believe in everything in opposite. Mm-hmm. And if there's good, there's bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in doing the paranormal thing, if you believe in good spirits, there are bad spirits. Do you want to say it's a devil? Yeah, let's just use devil for simplicity's sake. I will not do an investigation if I know an owner or anything ever did anything with a Ouija board, number one. Number two, I will not do anything with...
So if someone says...
They had a seance, no.
If someone says, I feel like my house is haunted, when did it start? I was playing with a Ouija board.
Goodbye.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? I'm just curious.
Why don't you leave your door open and see what walks in?
Yeah.
Go to your front door, leave it open for a month. See if anyone walks in here.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
With a Ouija board,
you're
huh?
doing it because you're inviting something in. All right? Which is like, you know, the devil is an imposter, if you want to call it the devil for simplicity's sake. They'll say they're so-and-so, but they're not. I mean, I can tell you a couple of stories. I don't know how much time you have for this thing.
Sure, we got plenty of time.
But when we bought our house, we bought the resale house in New York, and we started seeing these things.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching in a parochial school. I'm Catholic. And my daughter started being in the choir, and she was an altar server. And I said to my husband, my husband's Lutheran, I said to him, well, maybe we should have the house blessed. Maybe there's something remnant, something here. You know, I don't know what these other people were doing. I went to the priest, and he directed me to this deacon who's passed away now, Deacon George.
Mm-hmm.
He is an older guy, very credible, very credible. And I said, how am I going to approach him? He's going to think I'm crazy. So I was taking pictures for the yearbook because I did a lot of photography. And I told him who I was. I said, I'd like to take a picture for the yearbook. You could be included since you're a member of the parish and blah, blah, blah. And I said, by the way, I'd like to have my house blessed. And he asked me why. And I told him, and the people who had the house prior to me were not Christian, okay, and so I didn't know what they were doing. I just, you know, nothing bad happened, but I told them, I says, I don't know if they ever did anything, entertained doing anything, or and I think I should put my mom, my daughter, everybody at ease. So in the meantime, we just had a small conversation about spirits and stuff like this, and I had one of my first pictures that I took of Gettysburg, my Saxe Bridge of an orb, and I saw the soldier in the orb. But I wasn't going to tell this guy because I wanted to see whether or not he's valid. So I took out this picture and I said, I just want you to look at this picture. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's a soldier. Good picture. She goes, can I have the picture? And I knew he was going to ask me for the picture. So I made an extra print. So he came to the house and...
Wait, was this like a ghost soldier that you saw?
Yeah, it's on the website.
Okay.
Anyway, I think I took it with the Vexist. He came over and then he... blessed the house and gave me a prayer, which I have up on our entertainment unit and all this other stuff. And we just sat, I asked him if we wanted a cup of coffee, and we just talked. And he was telling me about his trips out west, because I think we were planning to go out west, and about the spider, and all this. We got on the paranormal. And he worked with this exorcist. His name was, that's why Father Peter hooked me up with this Deacon George. And
because Catholics are, that's part of it, exorcism.
Well, you know, they're the only religion that really does that.
Right.
Okay. Well, so, anyway.
There's others you can see.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, he told me that he worked with this Father Labar, and he had seen rosaries go across the room and stuff. I mean, you talk to the guy, he's credible. He's not some guy off the street that's preaching all this stuff. He was just very, very credible. And he was telling us a story about how his sister and brother-in-law bought this house upstate New York someplace. And he had gotten a phone call one day to go up there because his sister knew he was into this. And he goes up there and he's sleeping. And he heard noises, lights going on and off and all this other stuff. So he called out to whoever was in the room with him. And let's just say Charlie. All right, Charlie, let's just talk about this tomorrow. I'm really tired. I want to get some sleep. Blah, 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 blah. So he had a dream. The next day he woke up and his sister said, gee, how'd you sleep last night? He goes, well, I was a little restless. The lights were going on and off in the house and blah, 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 in the room. He says, let me ask you a question. He goes, did you or your husband find anything outside on the property that really needs to be replaced? And the sister looks. She goes, yeah, my husband found a tombstone. He goes, it's in the garage. He goes, put it back.
He had a tombstone in the garage.
Yeah, they took it was on the property.
Even a skeptic, I wouldn't put one
tombstone in my garage. The guy found, I guess he was okay. Mowing the lawn, whatever he was doing, clearing land, found a tombstone, just random, put it in his garage. And whoever was buried there got, I guess, upset. Then we had, I can't tell you the parish, but we did an investigation, Deb and I, my partner, at this house. And what was going on really in this house was a high EMF, you know, EMF, electromagnetic field. You get it off of, you know, appliances and stuff. And we usually do a sweep before we do an investigation of appliances because I came across that a lot. Some people are very, very sensitive to that. It's, you know, I mean, you have different reactions. You can become paranoid or your head, you get a headache. It's like, I try to, for simplicity's sake, explain that to clients saying, well, it's like if you have hay fever and I don't, we go out in the field and you start feeling lousy, your head, you know, you can't breathe. I said it's like that. Some people are very sensitive to that. Well, anyway, they wanted their house blessed. Now, we found a priest that would at least talk to me. Okay, a lot of priests don't like to do that. I don't think they want to take anything home or they need, it's a big long process to get permission from the cardinal or the bishop. It's just a hierarchy the way it works.
They have to get permission to just to bless a house?
Well, to do an exit, if there's something there.
Okay, right. Oh, so if they bless a house and they find something, then it's...
think it's a big long process. It's too tedious to go. So anyway, we go over there and we talk to this priest and I told him what was going on in this house. I says, you know, I really don't think there's anything going on. I think it's psychological. I think one wants it and one doesn't. One has sensitivities and I don't think she's playing with a full deck of cards. I basically told her I think she was a little off the wall.
You told the client this?
I told the priest this.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't tell clients.
You're crazy. Yeah.
So I'm very, very tactful, believe me. So anyway, the priest was saying that he told me how, you know, he has to get permission and all this stuff. And he told me two things happened to him. First of all, he had clients, they were living next to this woman who came from England. And what happened was that the woman started going crazy, or Canada, it's not acting right. But all of a sudden, she found all these friends and this job. And I guess the friends were talking, and this woman that was living next door said, well, I met this really good person who introduced me to all these people and got me this job and all this, you know. And the neighbors were feeling a little weird about it, so they went to the priest. So the priest says, well, bring this neighbor in. I'd like to talk to her. Mm-hmm. So we did, and she's telling the priest about this person that she met. Okay. So the priest says, well, you know, he kind of figured what was going on. He says, is that person in the room here with you now? And the woman said, no, he's outside. He will not come in here because you're here. That made the hair on my arm. Yeah. Really stand up about that. And then he also told me about another parishioner who had a foster child. That it was the same incident. And whatever this thing is, entity is, was affecting this little boy and his behavior. And he basically said the same thing. Is this person in the room? No, he's sitting on the chair outside your office. But then he was telling me about...
See, the first thing I would think with that is schizophrenia. And then I would run some tests.
Then he was telling me about... I was telling him how I think it's the electromagnetic field within the apartment itself, because we had a thing in Zebulon like that too. The panel box was going crazy. Anyway, the meter, the EFF meter, was like right off the scale. So anyway, what happened was that he was in this rectory and he was fine. He was there for years, and all of a sudden they had put an internet in the modem. They put the modem in his room. And he didn't realize it, but he used to, every day, not feel well. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. Was he eating something different? No, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was that they had the modem. He wanted the modem outside the room in the hall, and it was fine. So some people have this, whether or not it's paranormal, it's just sensitivity to stuff. But when he told me about that, you know, two instances about possibly something demonic, but it made stuff really is, real. I mean, this, you know, you think about all the schooling that they had. I mean, they probably hear this stuff all the time, and they're educated. They're not mental cases, you know. They're not just making this up.
Let's go back to, I guess we could say, when you saw the entity in your house, either the woman or the man. Actually, I have two things about that. But the first thing is, when you see a ghost, if someone sees a ghost, do you find that both people in the room will see it, or just one will see it? Have you ever been with someone where you're both looking at the same direction and you're seeing the same thing? Or does that go back into where I was saying?
No, I never had that happen. All the investigations that I ever was on, I never saw anything.
Okay.
I took pictures.
Okay.
I got EMFs,
EVPs. Right.
And
that's electronic voice phenomenon.
Yep. Okay. I got them.
Okay.
But, you know, there's six investigators on my team.
Okay.
And I split the team up into groups, two, three people, depending on if it's a new trainee or a new person. I don't let them go out on their own. And we also have an owner to the house.
Okay.
Like husband and wife. One goes at one team, one, just to protect ourselves and protect them.
Sure, yeah.
And we never had that happen.
What do you think, and this is one of the questions I sent you, but what is it? What is it that you're seeing when you see a ghost? Is it, and the reason why I ask is because, again, you know, I know how our eyeballs work and I know how perception works. Couple things that stands out to me with that is if you see a full body apparition and it's wearing an outfit, wouldn't the clothes also have to be a ghost if you can see the clothes? I mean, shouldn't this being be naked? And then if that's the case, then if you're seeing the skin, then does that mean the soul lies within the skin? Or, you know, when people say, all right, it's an orb, that actually kind of makes more sense to me, because if it's some sort of ball of consciousness or ball of energy, I would expect to see a ball or something like that. But when I hear full body apparitions, I say, all right, well, what's causing you to see the feathers in the hat or the cowboy hat or the clothes? How would you know what they're wearing unless those clothes themselves were some sort of ghost? Or is this an image that the ghost is communicating to you? So basically, I guess what I'm asking is this, do you think this is more like you're receiving a signal almost like from a TV? Or do you think that there's a physical something in front of you that you're viewing?
I think it was physical.
Okay.
And they're wearing the clothes that they wore when they were alive. Period clothes.
Right.
Like, well, if a Civil War, you see a Civil War soldier, he's going to have his uniform on. If you saw, you go to, let's say, a textile mill or something, and somebody passed away by an accident, whatever clothing they wore when they passed, they'd be...
What is it that you're seeing, though, is my question.
I don't know if... After hearing your question, you know, getting to thinking about it for the first time, I think it may be more of something being broadcasted into your brain, and then it's your perception of what that ghost is trying to get you to perceive. Maybe so. I wouldn't say it's a physical thing that you're looking in, and it's obviously clothes are not part of our consciousness, and in my mind, neither is our skin or any of our organs, but. The orb thing, I would agree with you. But I think it's almost like maybe a frequency that's getting broadcasted in, like a television or satellite something or cell phone wave, but to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people might be more apt to seeing these things, like Chris was saying, with they're more attuned to it, or they have a better situational awareness. And I still think it's because they're using a part of the brain that maybe the rest of us aren't. Because we've talked about this before, we only use about 10% of our brain. So maybe these folks who are able to kind of pick up these signals are using a 10.1% or some other percentage of our brain that might be more sensitive to whatever signal that is that coming through. So you think like sonar, like dolphins can detect sonar. And I think bats kind of do the same thing, where their brains evolved a little bit different. And they're able to pick up a sonar frequency. And I think maybe some folks are just more attuned to ghosts or paranormal activity because their brain is now somehow it's changed or wired a little bit different to kind of pick up on this frequency that's coming in. And they're like a television set. Your brain is picking up what it wants you to see. Does that kind of make sense? That's my thoughts.
See, my thing is that energy can't be created or destroyed. Okay.
Right.
Number one, just keep that here. I believe, okay, a ghost is in a different realm, fifth dimension, whatever you want to believe. I think they have some kind of power to translate properties and matrix to a form that we can understand. Okay. This process triggers, when you're talking about protons, like lightning.
Right.
And they just transform that into a source of light or something. They have to do something with that.
Okay.
And I just feel like that's...
And believe it or not, with the science base, and I like to read theoretical physics and stuff like that, the idea of the next dimension or something actually makes more sense to me than a lot of things. Because I think last podcast I was talking about, if you lived on a sheet of paper and your whole existence was on that sheet of paper and all you can see is two dimensions, and you hold that paper up, and I'm holding it, I'm watching you, I'm observing you on that paper, walking around doing whatever you're doing, you're like a comic strip, and I put you up to my face, you can't tell that I'm there in your two dimensions, but I'm looking right at you. I could, you know, push you up against my face. Now I'm touching you, but you still don't know I'm there because we're in two different dimensions. And I suppose that makes a little bit more sense to me that, you know, maybe we're just experiencing something beyond the three dimensions that we're aware of.
That could be that too.
Yeah. And maybe when you die, you just unplug and go to the next dimension. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think a lot of them have to have go through a transition, and they don't want to do that.
So what happens then, and this is actually terrifying if you think about it, what happens then if, you know, say there's ghosts, say, and again, I mean, are they real? All right, let's just say there's a house with five entities in it. Earth gets hit with another asteroid, like that wiped out the dinosaurs. Now, are those entities doomed on a planet of fire and darkness, it's an honest question. Or if the Earth is destroyed somehow, are they just floating in space, their entities?
Where were we before we were born?
Right. Yeah, that's a creepy thing to think about. Like you have no thoughts.
No consciousness, no.
Right. It's not a bad thing because, I mean, I didn't miss the Civil War. I wasn't there. I wasn't alive. I didn't miss World War II.
I think it's something we're never going to understand that.
Yeah.
Where were we? I say that, you know, where were we before we were born? Did we have consciousness? Did we know we were someplace? You know?
Is it?
Is this the soul?
Right. Mike used to be a warrior. He still is. Oh, my wife made the cookies.
Hooray! These are these good ones again.
This is when we had our...
I'm going to jump right onto those.
Yeah, we had our... I don't know, a couple episodes ago, maybe it was the last episode, we were talking about health and you know, they're trying to figure out how to feed the world, and there's an idea, well, they had lab-grown meat, and whether you would actually eat the lab-grown meat, and they actually had bugs was another thing, and these are banana, the listeners are like, these again.
Oatmeal banana cookies.
Yeah, that's literally just oatmeal, just banana, no sugar, and cranberries, and I think Kara puts dark chocolate chips in there. So she adds that to
there's
it to make it a little bit better.
There's two different ones right now.
Oh, there
there's
are? There's
cranberry a... ones? Because I'm looking right at them.
Okay, yeah.
And
they're across
across
the table from me.
And chocolate chips.
All right. Well, I didn't eat any last time because I was being a cordial guest, but now I'm going...
My body's
going
to go into shock.
unless you're allergic to bananas or or oatmeal.
You better get some, Kevin, because I'm gonna crush these.
Yeah, these are.
Uh huh. Those are really good. Mm-hmm. So these are the questions, and does anyone attempt to answer any of these? Are there any books or any resources where people say, "All right, this is, you know, I study ghosts. This is what I think they are," or is it just one of those things we don't know, and who knows if we'll know?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to go off tangent here, and I probably will. You know, there's two. We were talking about something before. You know, you used the word residual, and there are two. You know, there's two different kinds of haunts, right? Residual and intelligent.
from the TV show. That's the only way I know about it.
I don't know.
Well, about my EVPs will basically prove that. There are a lot of things like the laughing stuff that you heard and the piano music.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she had played and maybe we'll be able to pull this up here. Some EVPs, or she had sent me some of these electronic. So she goes and records at different houses and whatever. And she played it for me. And I did hear some things. I heard some walking on one of them in the attic. A laughing voice, which I played for you the other night.
I heard it. That was pretty crazy.
The women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounded like little girls.
I was the only female in that building at the time. And it wasn't me.
Right.
So that's a residual. That's not intelligent because we're not going back and forth as we are here.
Okay. So it's we're just... Now, could you record again and get the same exact sound at a different time?
I don't know. I've been in one home. Actually, I've been in two homes twice and got different stuff. Not particularly in this. This was a historical building that you really had to get permission to go in and do an investigation. I've been in private homes twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten different things. The same with the piano music. There was no piano in that home at all. You know, it was just energy trapped for whatever reason. I mean, it's like they always hear like it's playing a record over and over. That's what they all say. It's just energy trapped.
Okay.
I can't explain what happens there.
And this is where you said it can't be created nor destroyed.
Yeah, it's just there. Now, on an intelligent haunt, you're actually getting feedback. I mean, you're asking a question, and you're getting a no, a yes. We're told to go to hell, whatever you want.
Yeah.
They know you're there, you know, or, you know, you're going like this, and I get your hand. Somebody is seeing Deb and I going like this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody in that basement but Deb and I. The other people were upstairs.
And you were asking questions, and you were getting a response that you heard later after on, or did you hear while you were there?
We were just asking other questions at that time, but when we were going like this, I didn't get a question answered. I got your hand.
Okay. So you're saying, what am I doing right now?
No, I didn't even say that. We just couldn't figure out where this wind was coming from.
Okay, you were feeling
it. And
we
were trying to figure out, because there was one entrance, and it wasn't an outdoor entrance. It was an entrance in a hall.
Okay.
But it was not where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out, gee, you know, it's not coming from that area. It's coming from, like, over here. And we were looking for a leak, a vent, but there wasn't any. I mean, it was a basement. And, I got your hand. I also got Help Me in there, too, by the way.
And where does that come from? How does that travel? It's just something that you've heard. Where do you think? Well, if you can record it, then it tells me that it's in the air. It's something that is vibrating the air. So it's not, in that case, it wouldn't be something that's being projected to you in some sort of signal.
I just think, well, they say that. It's energy. Obviously, you need energy to project. Okay. What happens is that a lot of paranormal investigators, I had it happen once or twice, not an abundance thing, but where your batteries get drained, or your
you get a weird feedback that's going on. I don't know what's going on.
They
with
have
this mic.
To get energy from someplace. They can't create it because they're not really there.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to draw this energy, whether it's electromagnetic or whatever the heck it is, but they have to get it from someplace to project that. That takes a lot. That's why a lot of times when you do an investigation, you don't ask a big, complicated question.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know how
much energy.
You can't
get a complicated response.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's either usually a yes or a no. I mean, if you want to go a little further, sometimes people do. We don't know what we have on that recorder. I mean, I don't. I don't go sit there and play it back. I'm wasting a lot of time. And if there's something there, they're going to just give up on me and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll listen to it when I go home. But I try to keep it. I try to keep it. Like I said, yes, no. One time I got recently. We went back to the Garner home, and we did an investigation there again. And as far as I was concerned, the investigation was over, and we just sit around talking. And I have three video cameras, and I set them up in the hot spots. And somebody said, this is where I saw this. And so I set them up. I wasn't even really aware that they would pick up EVPs. I just was going for the visual. like orbs or something manifesting or matrixing or whatever. And I have three recorders, and my team have recorders, but I'll leave one or two in a room and I'll take one with me. And so I may have a recorder in the room and I may have a video camera in the room, the same room. Like I said, this particular, we finished the investigation and we're sitting in a bedroom. We were just talking. The other team members were in the living room and I was in a bedroom with the owner and a new investigator. And I don't know what we were talking about, different stuff. I mean, you could hear it on my thing. And she had a brown dust ruffle on the foot of her bed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on a chair. And I saw something white go across the dust ruffle because it was brownish. And I said to her, I said, did you ever have a small white dog? And she says, you mean like a chihuahua? And I said, no. And I related it. We have a corgi mix. So I said, no, I got corgi size. She mean like a size of a beagle? And I said, yeah. She says, we used to have a beagle. She said it was brown, black. And she's going, oh. I said, no, this is white, like a white thing. And I was mocked. Something said, a white thing, a white thing.
You got it. That
I got that on my recorder, and I got that on the video.
Oh, so you got it on two.
I got it
things.
On both. Yep. And I said to my husband, I said, Fred, I didn't know these cameras will pick up EVPs.
And you didn't hear it when you were doing that, right?
Huh. No.
Oh, that's wild.
That
is so wild.
That was back in March.
Oh, so it was just recently.
And then there was another one. We did a place in Zebulon. And my friend Deb, she will do a smudging. Let's try to get rid of it. And one of the smudging. And it was just the two of us.
Believe it or not, I think I've read about that. It's like a...
the cleansing.
Yeah, and they use like sage. And
yeah, sage or sweet grass or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What? I have no idea what
a
this
smudging.
Is.
Smudging. It could be a weekend thing, a white magic thing to purify. Because white... Like,
it's like burning incense.
Like witches. White witches will use nature. Things from nature.
Okay.
All right. So we're sitting there. Now, I thought it was me. Okay, and I thought I said, well, that's Deb doing her thing. But I had the video camera running when she was smudging, and it sounds just like me. My mouth was closed, and somebody said, it's Deb doing her thing. I thought it was me. I was just ready to, like I said, I was listening to the recording.
Yeah.
And I said, that's me. I must have said something, and I recorded
it. That almost sounds like it's something that's been watching you.
But this was a different
you know what I mean?
This is a different house. We were talking about Zebulon and Garner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And my mouth, I said to my husband, because I'm reviewing, and I go over and over. I says, I went back, because I knew where I had the camera. And I said, something mocked me. My mouth is closed. It goes, Deb doing her thing. I would say that.
Yeah.
That's something I would say, but it wasn't me. My mouth is closed. And the other woman was sitting there on her couch, and she had no clue that I speak that way. So go figure. But the white thing was, the white thing, or white. It was really weird. I have that on my...
So Chris has actually brought up some EVPs, some electronic voice phenomenons. Now, these things, there's backstories for all of them. Tell us a little bit of the backstory of the one that we're going to hear, your hand.
Well, first of all, I can't. A lot of times I don't give locations.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
Privacy
yeah.
thing, and a lot of proprietors of businesses and homeowners, they just want to keep it soft.
Sure.
Down. But I can tell you, this was a business downtown.
Okay.
And my partner, Deb, and I, there were several investigators, and the building was, it was a business building. And I think it had three stories, and we had split up, and Deb and I went downstairs. And it was a basement. There were no windows. There were one entry, but it wasn't a door exiting to the outside. You had to go downstairs and go around a couple of bends and this type of thing. And we were sitting on folding chairs, and we heard some noise, and we... At one point, of course, I had a limit space on this EVP, but she says, did you hear that? And I says, yes, I did. And we're talking about these noises. And then all of a sudden, we felt like a gust of wind,
mm-hmm.
and we had stood up, and we were had our hands extended out to our side, and we were trying to figure out where the noise this wind was coming from. And we didn't get, you know, we just couldn't figure it out, and that was the end of it. So later on that evening when I was going through my EVPs and I had, you know, you hear the conversation, so we knew exactly where we were at the time, and everything was, like, time-stamped and everything also. I heard this one after putting our hands out trying to feel the wind, and I can play that for
you. Okay, let's listen. Yeah, you can hear.
That's so crazy.
It's a whisper. Your hand. Let's hear it again.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, hear that whisper.
That's so crazy.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
That one came.
And what did the business or homeowner, what did they, did you get a good reaction when they?
Well, actually, we were with another team and we sent it to them. And
okay.
We don't know what they did with it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so basically that was one of the reasons why we left the other team.
Okay.
Because they weren't really sharing information
mm-hmm.
Among the team, or we never saw a written report, or we don't know what, you know, if this particular person was running this group submitted it as his own.
Yeah.
That was another issue we had.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, they will hog this stuff from Glory. I mean, we're not Glory Hounds here. We try to help people out.
Sure. And then you had another one. I can't remember which one was that?
Okay, this is a downtown home in Raleigh. We've been there twice. The first time we went, we got two EVPs.
Okay.
And they're self-explanatory when I play them. So I'll just play that and see if you can hear it.
And that baby you hear in the background is actually mine. That's not the ghost. That's All right, let's take a listen.
Could you tell us your name?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, you get the...
Definitely
the,
got the no.
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 Let's hear that again.
I will not.
Now that we know we're listening.
Could you tell us your name?
That's cool.
Yeah, it sounded like a cool. woman, a southern woman's like voice.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely sounded like a woman.
Well, that's pretty wild.
And there's one more I have on.
Okay, yeah. Here. What's
right. We were in Garner, but I happened to ask if the mailing address is Raleigh.
Okay.
And I asked if they were from Raleigh.
Okay.
Right. I did not know what response I got. Therefore, I couldn't ask, are you from Garner?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I asked was from Raleigh, and I'll let you figure out what's being said here.
Okay.
Are you from Raleigh?
That was it.
I think I heard like it almost sounded like a breath, but let's hear it again.
Yeah, maybe a no.
Are you from Raleigh?
Yeah, you hear a breath, almost like a no. What do you think he said?
No.
Or she?
Yeah. But when they played this on the radio station last year or whatever it was 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
on their equipment, I heard, no, I am not. That was...
What?
Oh, from that?
From that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there. You just can't hear it with, you know, earbuds.
Wow.
I was very surprised about that.
Yeah.
What? You know?
Yeah. Wow. We covered a lot
you
of things
here. You heard the laughing,
here.
The piano music there.
Yeah.
Do you have the... Yeah, they're here.
Yeah, let's listen to them.
I like the laughing one.
That yeah, was, one of them is a laugh.
So okay, crazy. This is a laugh, and there was... I was the only female there, so
okay.
whatever.
It sounds like children.
It sounds like a witch to me or
oh,
something.
Does it? Oh,
let's hear it again.
I feel like
those ruby slippers.
It's like children playing.
That's creepy. I don't know. Maybe a coyote. Okay, yeah. they sound like that. They get a little
well,
yippity yappity
laugh.
There
was one in that house then.
Yeah.
All right. And then what was the...
The other one is the piano music.
Oh, yeah, the piano. Let's listen to this one.
Coyotes
no piano
also
was,
play
it was
pianos.
A vacant. There's no piano.
What's that?
I said the coyotes can also play
piano. I think he's on YouTube, isn't he?
That's right.
Did you build this house, Mr. Sloan, from your design?
You can absolutely hear that.
Yeah, there was some. You can hear it.
Yeah. Try that again.
It was like the lower notes.
Did you build this house, Mr. Sloan, or your design?
It almost sounds like they're climbing the scale with the lower ones. Like, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Did you, and you didn't hear it when you were doing this?
It's me. Yep.
Wow.
Oh, that's
I am, no.
That's so neat.
Well, you know, it's like I said, and what we do here on this podcast is we listen to, or we talk about things. We try to look at what's beyond. I guess everyday conversation. This is definitely one of those things. Hopefully, we'll be able to go on a
at least a
site. Yeah, even if we can find one, maybe there's a local one. I don't know. Maybe you know.
Well, I have one.
So definitely. Well, there's two things. If you can get us on a hunt, that'd be great. Or
like,
I'm sorry,
like
an investigation.
It's a small house. It's a mm-hmm. 3-bedroom ranch.
And there's no. I mean, I'm planning on doing.
Recorder.
I'm planning
and
on
I
doing
have,
this.
I have, like I said, an investigation Wednesday night. And I have a lot of stuff to go through. So,
okay.
I mean, I have 3 video cameras. I have 3 recorders. I have 2 stills.
Okay.
And if somebody's camera doesn't work, I have a 3rd still. So,
okay.
You know, I like to go through. They go through this stuff, but I like to go through it too.
What's that?
Do is I know a guy downtown Clayton who claims that 2 of his properties are haunted.
Okay,
and he's actually experienced things, so I suppose I could just go ask him and say, "Hey, man,
why not?"
My buddy does a podcast. We just did this one. We want to do a part 2.
You're talking about properties or like a structure, like a house.
It's a home.
Or
a home.
Okay,
2 homes down here in Clayton. He owns both the properties. That's why I said because he owns both houses.
All right, that was the Wait What If podcast. With us today was Kristen Ford Newell, who is a paranormal investigator with As Southern As Possible Paranormal. You can check out our website at AsSouthernAsPossibleParanormal.com. You can actually reach her via email at asapparanormal at nc.rr.com. So that's asapparanormal at nc.rr.com. Of course, with us, you can follow us on the Wait With If podcast on Twitter at WWI Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/WWI Podcast. What else? I'm always missing one thing, Mike. Oh, our email is it's waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Mike, when's your first broadcast going to come up?
I'm hoping in a couple weeks.
All right, couple weeks.
I got about 3 down. I got 1 more that I'm putting together.
All right, that's great. Again, that's going to be Make It A Double. You can check him out on Facebook/Make It A Double. Is that right?
Actually, I think it's Make It A Double Podcast.
You think?
Well, okay. Because there's someone else, something silly, but mine, I'm pretty sure, has podcast at the end. So if
okay,
you can
Make
It A Double Podcast.
Make It A Double Podcast.
Find it.
On Facebook. That's about it. You got anything else?
I'm good.
All right, I'm good,
too. I'm looking forward to our investigation.
Yeah, in 6 hours.
6 hours, let's do it!
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
Take care. Till next time.
I think it has a doctorate in something. Like,
what was that?
I don't know.
I have my stuff.
Your phone.
I have my stuff.
It's
like a vibration. Maybe it's
not. What the heck is going on here? Is that, I don't know what that was.
No, not me.
Yeah.
Me.